quick.
Okay, today's daf is Kuf Gimel. We're going to start, we'll just review the Mishnah quickly and from Kuf Bet Amud Bet, and we'll move on from there. Ha'omer l'chaveiro, Beit Kor afar ani mocher l'cha. He says, I'm selling you a field of a Beit Kor. Remember, that's 30 se'im, an area that can grow 30 se'im of wheat. Hayusham nika'im amukim asarat tvachim. Os la'im gvohim asarat tvachim. Einam nimdidim imach. There's rocks that are 10 tvachim tall, or ditches in the ground, that are, or holes in the ground, cracks that are 10 tvachim deep. Then we say that they're not measured with the field. So if you say, I'm selling you a field that's X size, right? Let's say a Beit Kor. So then we're going to say that if there's something that's taller than 10 tefachim, we'll get into this measurement later in the Gemara, but if there's something that's 10 tefachim tall that can't be planted, that's the assumption, either a crack in the ground or a big rock, then we don't measure that with it. And if, let's say, he gave him a field that's a Beit Kor including that amount, so then we're going to have to make him give extra land. Pachot mikam, but if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, nimdidimima. Okay, what they're obviously not mentioning is, right, how wide it is, how much space the rock takes up. Okay, we'll get into that in the Gemara. V'mamarlo kebeit kor afar, but if he says, like a Beit Kor afar I'm selling you, and he doesn't say specifically a Beit Kor, but about a Beit Kor I'm selling you, then afilo ha'yusham nika'im amukim yoter me'asarat tefachim, o sla'im gvohim yoter me'asarat tefachim. Here we're saying even taller than that. It could be some huge rock in the middle. Hare'ilu nimdidimima. That's all included. Okay? Again, we said this is all in the case where he didn't show him the field before, right? If he showed him the field before and the guy agreed to the field, then he can't start complaining, oh, I want more land. Tnan hatam. Now we're going to get into, if you remember, we've learned about this before, magdish shtei achuza. You have a field that's a field of achuza. It gets transferred from parent to child. So it talks in a Mishnah about if you're magdish, a shtei achuza. If you remember, there was a specific, as opposed to generally you're magdish something, we evaluate how much is it worth based on the market value, and then you have to give that to the Beit HaMikdash. If you do it with a shtei achuza, there's a set amount per amount of property. So we'll see it again now. Hamakdish sadeu b'shata yovel. B'shata yovel means not in the yovel year. It means when yovel is no hag. Okay, not like nowadays where there is no yovel. Notein lo lebeit zera chomer seorim 50 shekel kesef. For the amount of the a field, the size of where you could plant a chomer of seorim, which is an amount of seorim, okay, a certain amount of a field. So, and it has to be plantable. Okay, this is where we're going to get, has to be able to be planted. I don't know if that's a word, plantable. It's a good made-up word. So it's an area where you can plant that amount of seorim. For that amount, you have to give 50 shekel kesef. Okay, that amount, it's 50 shkalim of kesef, as opposed to, right, we've seen this amount in the Torah many times, right, with the rape case, right, there's also 50, the ketubah's 50 shekel kesef. I think that the ones, forget, you have to give 50 shekel kesef. It's this amount that you give, which is matayim zuz in zuzim. That's the amount you have to give. So again, it's a set amount. We talked about this versus an amount where you would evaluate what's the worth of the land. Hayusham nika'im amukim asarat tvachim. O sla'im gvohim asarat tvachim. Eim nimdadin ima. Okay, so now, what does this mean? If you give this amount, then they're not, if you have these rocks that are taller than 10 tefachim or ditches that are deeper than 10 tefachim, they're not counted in the count of the zera chomer seorim. Okay, now, what does this mean they're not counted? So either it means when you were magdish this field, you weren't even magdish that at all. It wasn't relating to the rocks because the rocks can't be planted. And therefore, so some of them approach them and say, eim nididim ima means that not only is it not counted in the count for the 50 shekel kesef, but it's not even mukdash. It's not hektish. Other people say, no, it is hektish, but it goes on a different, there it goes on the value of that space where the rock is. Okay, where you wouldn't value it based on the 50 shekel kesef, you value it based on what the area is worth with the rock there or
so the
ditch in the ground.
So the total would be 50 shekel plus whatever.
Exactly. Well, again, you'd have to measure. We'll see in a minute that you can prorate it, okay? So you have to measure how big the field is, compare it to this 50 shekel kesef, evaluate that minus the rock area or the ditch area, And then, in addition, according to those mefarshim, you'd have to then give the value of the area with the rock there. Pachot mikan, if you have less than that, okay, if there's less than 10 tfachim tall, then nimdedim ima, okay, then it's part of it, okay? Then we're going to consider it part of the field of the Zerach HaMasorim, right? We're going to count it as part of it, which sounds very much like our mission. Now the Gemara asks, Va'amai, liktishu ba'am penafshayu. Okay, so now this question is going to be different whether you went with the first perush or the second perush. If you said it's not hekdesh at all, then what this question is saying is, why aren't you makdish it bifnei atzmo, right? In other words, it itself should be hekdesh. If you say the other way, then the question is, why aren't you makdish it together with the field in this value of the 50 shekel kesef? So then the Gemara says, v'chi tema kevan delo havu beit kor. Maybe it's not, maybe this amount of 50 shekel to a beit kor, okay, the beit zerach HaMasorim is the same as a beit kor, okay? It's a place where you can plant X amount of seorim, which is a beit kor, which we said is a place where you can grow 30 se'ah. Okay, so now they're saying, maybe that measurement was only given when you have a baked core, and obviously we're assuming if you have this big field with big rock things coming out of it, then, or big ditches, we're assuming the big ditches are not the size of a baked se'ah. Okay, there's some ditches, but they're not huge. They're not going to take up that much space. So if you want to say, kevan de lo havu beit kor, lo kadshe, that's why they're not hekdesh, because in order to be chayav the 50 shekel, you need to have a big amount, the beit kor. V'hatanya, sadeh, matamud lomar. Okay, we're going to see, it says that, im mistechu zato yagdish. Okay, so there it says, I think that's the sadeh they're referring to, one second. Kind of psukim, one sec. But they're going to show that there's some repeating of words on the psukim. It says, v'im ga'o yig'alat ha-sadeh ha-makdish oto. Okay, that's where it says sadeh first. Okay, so im ga'o yig'al ish ha-sadeh, ma tamud lomar. Lafi sh'nemar, zerach chomer so'rim b'chamishim shekel kesef. But it says, a zerach chomer so'rim, which also refers to a field. So why do you have both? Ein li ela sh'igdish b'inyan hazeh. Right, so when it says, zerach chomer so'rim b'chamishim shekel kesef, it sounds like you're magdish b'inyan hazeh, that it's only going to be hekdesh for this amount of 50 shekel kesef, assuming you have a minimum of a zerach chomer so'rim. Minay l'rabot letech v'chatzi letech se'ah tirkav v'chatzi tirkav. We learned this before, by the way. Right? How do you know that if you have all these smaller measurements? Talmud lomar sadeh mikol makom. So the word sadeh, in other words, it tells you it's a zerach chomer so'rim, which obviously is referring to a field, a place where you can plant a chomer of so'rim. So when it says the word sadeh, also it's coming to teach you that it's any field, not only if it's a zerach chomer so'rim, but it's any size field. So now, and obviously then it would be proportional. So therefore, they say, Talmud lomar sadeh mikol makom. Okay, so therefore, where are we now? The Gemara said, why aren't we makdish these big rock formations or ditches based on, right, the amount of 50 shekel kesef. Again, you have to read the sugya two different ways depending on the interpretation. But let's go with the one that says it is hekdesh. It's just not hekdesh with this amount of the 50 shekel, but you evaluate it based on the value, the actual value. And then they say, you might say because it doesn't add up to a baked core, but that's not a good answer because anyway, it's going to be prorated. So therefore, we're going to have a different answer. Amar of Ukba Brachama, now just remember, what is it? This kind of Makdusha field is a field that you can plant a Chomer of Sovim. So what do we have to understand here? It has to be an area that you can plant. Now, where rocks are, you certainly can't plant. But where ditches are, in theory, you could plant something there. So now they're going to say, ah, no. The ditches are a case. They're ditches that are filled with water that can't be used for planting. And that's why you can't be makdish these ditches, okay? Because they're not worthy of being planted. And this 50 shekel kesef is only unique for planting. And if you want to go with the other interpretation, that they're not hekdesh at all, it's because the person was makdish his field. And a field means something that you can plant in. And therefore, it didn't include at all the areas that weren't able to be planted. And now they're going to prove They're going to say we can support it from the wording "daikanami dekatane," because it says there in that source in that Mishnah, "dumia dislaim shmamina." It says, right, there's nikaim and there's slaim. So nikaim must be nikaim that are similar to slaim. In what way are they similar? Just like slaim, you can't plant there. Also, nikaim, the ditches, you can't plant in them. Okay, shmamina. So therefore, they say that's why they're not hekdesh. Or again, maybe they're hekdesh, but they're evaluated for their value, but not according to the zerachomer sowin. So now they say, ihachi afilu b'pachot mikan nami. If that's the case, if their ditch is full of water, then basically we should say that even less than 10 tefachim tall, if it can't, you can't plant there, so you can't plant there and it shouldn't be included. So now what do they say? Hanhu nigane da'aramikru, shadre da'aramikru. The ditches and the rocks are called, okay, I have to remember exactly the translation here, but it's the nika'im are called cracks in the ground. Okay, that's what gane da'ara, or nagane da'ara, are. And shidre da'ara is like the amuda shidra, the spine, right? The spine comes out of your body, let's say. Exactly, comes out. But, right, the rocks are like the spine of the ground. So what do you notice in the terms of what they call these things? They're called, right, if they're small. If they're big, then they're already called, let's say, a rock formation, or a big hole, or a ditch, or something. But if they're small, they're just called cracks in the ground or spines of the earth, or, you know, spines of the ground, which means what? They're batel to the land because they're called, right? They're connected to the land, basically, and therefore, if they're cracks in the ground, they're basically considered part of the ground here, part of the land. So therefore, they're going to be included, whereas if once they get past Yud Tefachim, they're already called something different. This goes with that whole theory that we've seen in other places, is how do you call things? Like if you remember, for example, when we talked about kinyanim and like a gazlan, he steals something, and then at what point does it become acquired, right? We talked about all these things, so that if you, shinoi shem can be a sort of kinyan, right? If you call something different, it already means it's yours. You're taking ownership over it. So here also, what you call something has significance. If it's called cracks in the ground, then it's just part of the ground, and it's batel to the ground, and therefore it's going to be included. Okay, so that's the difference between the 10 tefachim and less than 10 tefachim. Now we've figured out the difference there. Hachamai, so now they're asking, second, hachamai is, right, so now, so this was all the case of the Magdish Sadeh, was what we were talking about. Now they want to know, when we said, what did we say here? That the ditches, right? So we have this ditch, this crevice in the ground. We said that it's mele'im mayim, right? Just like the sla'im. So now, and why they say that? Because they had to explain why it's not mukdash with the field, if you're makdish it. So now they want to know, does that same thing apply to our Mishnah? And this is why we brought it in our sugya. When you say, I'm selling a field, a beit korafar, and we said the ditch is 10 tefachim deep, and then it's not going to be included in the sale, is that only if it's mele'im mayim? Or even, what if you can plant in it? Then, if you bought this field and you can plant in the ditch, even though it's 10 tefachim deep, maybe then it's included in the sale. Okay, so the question is what applies to hekdesh also apply to our case? And interestingly enough, they're actually going to say no, it's different.
Are these natural formations, or could somebody have dug the ditch? Or?
That's a good question. I assume it's not an actual ditch that was dug, because then we call it something else probably, and we call it a ditch probably. I think what it means is you bought a field, and in it there's these cracks, you know, from whatever might have caused it. Yeah.
And I suspect things that you couldn't easily fix by just...
That's a good question, right? Maybe you could just fix them, and then that should resolve your issue. But again, you could...
Remove the rocks.
Right, so removing the rocks is an option. Right. So, yeah, I don't know why they don't really seem to...
That may be why they started off by specifying size.
Because...
It's just too hard to fix or to move.
If they're too big, you're saying, that they're too hard to move, or right, the ditch is too big to... But again, it only tells you how tall it is. It doesn't tell you how wide it is. Right, so it's also an issue. I don't know why they don't really relate to whether you can just fix it up. But I guess the point is, you bought. It's like you go to the store, you buy a dress, and it's ripped. So it's true, you could sew it yourself, but you go back to the store and say, hey, you sold me a ripped dress. Right? In other words, why should I be responsible to fix it if I bought this from you? I wanted to buy a perfect product, right? The intention was that I bought something that you can plant, not one that I have to start fixing up and moving rocks. I think that's the idea here. So Amar Rav Papa, Af al pi she'em le'im mayim, okay? He says, even if they're not filled with water, my time. Now remember, with hekdesh, it had to be a field that you could plant. That was the idea. But, and therefore, once it had these cracks in it, only if they're filled with water is it not going to be included. But if they're not filled with water, then they're considered part of the field, right? Because they can be planted, even with difficulty. But now, when it comes to a sale, it's different. My time, because remember, in the hekdesh, no one's using the field, right? It's my field. I'm magdish it to the Beit HaMikdash, which basically means I have to give the value of it to the Beit HaMikdash. It still remains my field. It's still the same field it was before. But if I'm selling something, what's going to be the issue? My time. Ein adam rotzeh sheyitei ma'otah b'makom echad v'yiru lo k'shnayim u'shlosha makomot. If I buy a field, I want one straight field. I don't want a field that's divided up into sections. What's the problem if it's divided into sections? When you go to plow, it's going to be a headache to plow this area and then move over to that area. And one thing we're going to see, the Rashbam says later, that when they plowed the fields, they plowed it shi and arev. They plowed it one direction and then the other direction. So like on a crisscross. So basically, if there's cracks in the field, it's going to be a big headache for the animal to, you know, have to move back and forth. And it's a headache for me, who's, you know, organizing all this, who bought this field. I don't want a field that's got cracks in it. And we're going to see this later also about different ways of formations where it'll be particularly annoying for the owner. Okay. Matkif la Ravina. But wait, didn't we say, just like in the Mishnah in Erechin, I didn't mention it was a Mishnah in Erechin, okay, because it's about the value of the hekdesh. Just like in Erechin, it said, since the Sla'im are mentioned, the Nika'im are mentioned next to the Sla'im, that just like the Sla'im can't be planted, also the Nika'im can't be planted. So why don't we say the same thing in our Mishnah? Right? Uma dumia de Sla'im katane, ma Sla'im de la b'nei z'rianinu, af haniname de la b'nei z'rianinu. So now what do they answer? Ki katane dumia deslaim apachot mikan. The chidush here in our Mishnah was that even if they're smaller than asarat tfachim, then even though they can be planted, they're like slaim, and I'm sorry, wait a minute. If the pachot mikan is saying, one second, that even if... right. It's even if the Nika'im are Mala'im Mayim, and they're like Sla'im that they can't be planted, but what did we say? If it's less than 10 Tfachim tall, even a rock is going to be included as part of the field, and it's Batel. So therefore, in other words, we'll read it like this. When it comes to big ditches that are not filled with water and in theory could be planted, those are still not included. Because that's a headache for the owner. The owner would never want to buy a field that includes that, right? That has a field like that. But if, on the flip side, if they're like Sla'im and they can't even be planted, but they're less than 10 tefachim tall, then they're still batel to the karka and it is included. So even though it can't be planted, it doesn't bother us. You might say, but well, if it's filled with water, even if it's less than 10 tefachim, I can't plant here. I don't want that to be included. But so are the Sla'im. And the Sla'im says that less than 10 tefachim is going to be included. So therefore, even the Nika'im and the Imayim are going to be included in the sale if they're less than 10 tefachim. Okay, so we have different options. We have Sla'im that are rocks and ditches that are less than 10 tefachim. Deep or tall, are no matter what going to be included, right? Whether they have water, whether they don't have water. And if they're more than 10 tefachim, then they're not included only if they can't be planted, right? But if they can be planted, they're not included either which way, right? Whether they have water, whether they don't have water, when they're 10 tefachim deep, they're not going to be included at all. Okay, whereas when it came to the hekdesh, we distinguish between the ones that have water and the ones that didn't have water. If it doesn't have water, when you're maktish it, and you can plant in there, it's going to be included in your hekdesh, and it's going to be counted for this chamishim slaim. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Trashim shamru beit arba'a kabin. Now we're going to get to the amount of what space they take up, these rocks. So now, what are they saying? When we talked about rocks that are not included, let's say you have a whole bunch of rocks in this area, okay, lots of small rocks, and they all add up to arba'a kabin. Okay, which is, right, we've seen this measurement, arba'a kabim, right, four kabim. Remember, there's a, this is a, this is 1/45th of the field, because, let's see if I can get all the measurements right, we have a 6 kabim to a se'ah, okay, and 30 se'ah in this field. Okay, so that gets us to 180 kabim in the field, okay. And we're talking about 4. 4 out of 180 is 1/45th. Okay? So now, if they add up to 1/45th of the field, then, okay, assuming they're less than 10 tefachim, then we're going to say they're part of the field. But once you get above that amount, then already it's a significant space it's taking up. And then already we're going to say above 4 kabim, we're going to say, right, above this 1/45th, we're going to say, right, because it's not just going to be 4 kabim, it's going to be percentage of your field, okay? So above 1/45th, we're already going to say, we can't count it. It's too much, right? What I said in the mission is, it only talked about height. It didn't talk about space. So if you have a height, it doesn't matter what size it is, but if it's under the height and it's 10 tefachim, then if it takes up a large amount of space, already we're going to say, above 4 kabin or above 1/45th, already it's not going to be included in the sale, and you're going to have to compensate the, you know, the person who bought the field. You're going to have to find him some other land. But now we're going to have all sorts of qualifications on these 4 kabin. Okay? When we say the 4 kabin, okay, so now we're going to talk about this 4 kabin measurement. So 4 kabin is already going to be okay, right? It's not significant. Okay? So now, above 4 kabin is already significant. That we're going to say that it doesn't, it's, you know, not batel. Amar Rav Ukva bar Chama, v'hu shemuv la'im b'chameshet kabim. In order to say that these 4 kabim, right, they have to be mifuzar within an area where you can plant 5 kabim. Because if they're in a smaller area, so think about it, right? If you have a lot of small rocks in a small area that add up to a 4 kabim measurement, or what do we say? 4 kabim is not significant. Above 4 kabim is significant. But if the 4 kabim were in a smaller than 5 kabim area, then it's already significant because it's taking up a lot of space. It's almost, what we're going to get to here is sort of how noticeable these rocks are. So if they're in a very small area, then they're already a significant, they're noticeable. And therefore, it's going to be counted as, it's not going to be batel to the land. Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shemuv la'im b'ruba shel sadeh. Okay, there's two different ways of understanding whether he disagrees with the other opinion or he's just adding to the other opinion. We're not going to get too much into the details there. But what does he say? It has to be in the majority of the field. But if it's in the minority of the field, then again, it's going to be more noticeable. Okay? So it sounds like he's disagreeing and he's saying, it's not just v'hu shemuv la'im b'chamisha kabin, right? But we'll go with this interpretation. It's that it has to be the 4 kabim, right? 4 kabim, if it's in, let's say, right, it's a 30 se'ah field. So let's say that you have 4 kabim, right? What do we say? 4 kabim and 5 kabim is already, right, going to be okay. But any less than 5 is not going to be okay. So now we're going to say, if you have 4 kabim, it has to be in, let's say, even in 15, it's still noticeable. Once it gets to the rov, then it's okay. Then it's not going to be noticeable. Meaning if it's 4 kabim spread out in a space of 16 kabim, already then we'll be in rov, or 15.5, right?
And it will be counted.
Then it will be counted. But if it's within less than, let's say, 15.1 or something, right, 15.2, then already we're going to say it's significant because, it's a matter of how noticeable it is. Okay, so according to this interpretation, he actually disagrees. It's a matter of is it to 5 or is it to 15,
it's 15 plus. Strange, because it seems like if you had all the rocks concentrated, you could just not plant in that area and all the rest would be completely plantable, as opposed to a little bit of rocks everywhere sounds much harder.
Mm-hmm, much more difficult. On the other hand, maybe a few little rocks you can easily plow over, but a lot when there's a whole area that's kind of rocky, you can't really plow there. Mm-hmm. So it could be that also. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into different formations. If you already looked at the next page, there's all sorts of pictures you'll see. Okay. By Rav Chiya bar Abba. Now we get to the more nunicky questions that end up with a teiku, and we're going to see Rav Yirmiyah again, who always comes up here. Rubam b'me'uta u'me'utam b'rubam mahu. What if you have, okay, let's say, out of the four kabim, 2.25 of the kabim versus 1.75. Okay, we'll take those as like the majority of the four kabim are 2.25, and the minority of them is 1.75. 2.25 kabim are spread out into 14 kabim, and 1.75 of them are spread out into 16 kabim. Okay, in other words, you have the majority of the four kabim are spread out in the minority of the field, and the minority of the four kabim are spread out in the majority of the field. Then what would be the case? Okay, so teku. By Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya comes up with all these different shapes now. Now, each shape is going to be progressively more annoying to the owner, okay? So in terms of, think about the plowing, okay? Kishir mahu, okay? Kishir, by the way, the notes in the Schottenstein said that the pictures that appear here in the Rashbam, he claims are not the pictures of the Rashbam, because the way the Rashbam seems to describe them doesn't seem to be like this. And if you have the Schottenstein, you can see that their pictures are slightly different. Okay? So we'll go with the pictures that appear on the Schottenstein. They seem to be more along the lines of the majority of the Mefarshim. Kishir mahu. Okay, kishir is what if they're in a circle. Okay? Some people say that they're in a circle, that all the rocks are attached to each other and form a circle. Some people say that they're in a circle, but with spaces in between them. Okay, so if you look in the Schottenstein, you can see there's these dots. Right, that those dots are the rocks, and they're spaced apart from each other. But the point is that they're in a circle formation. Now, if they're in a circle formation, think about someone who's plowing. First of all, there's no straight lines here, so it's very hard to go plow the part around the circle. The part inside the circle is obviously going to be difficult to plant. So if they're arranged in this formation, what's the story? Kishura mahu. So again, if you see the picture in the Rashbam, has it like a grid, okay, all sorts of rows. But most of them are fresh to explain that it's a straight line. Okay, if you have the four kabim spread out in a straight line, okay, going like far across the field, then again, since you plow shti and arev, this is where the Rashbam says it, then you're going to have trouble because, right, when you plow one direction, so they're in a straight line, it's fine, it won't bother you. But when you're plowing the other way, it's going to be in the way for a very long period of time, so it's going to be very annoying. Itzdedinim mahu. This is from itzdedion, which is, what are they referring to? If you look at the picture, they're referring to a bullfight, okay, that happened in the stadiums. So look at it, right? It goes straight and then comes out like the karnayim, like the horns of the bull. So what if it's like that, where again, that becomes much more annoying because part is straight and part is rounded. So you're really in trouble. And now we get to either the M or the W, okay? Akalaton. Okay, derech hakalaton mahu, right? If it's zigzag, thank you. Zigzag mahu, okay, what's the story? Again, that's going to be even more complicated. So each one gets progressively more complicated, and again, we end in teku. Okay, tana. Im haya sela yechidi, afilu koshehu ein nimdadima. V'im haya samuch lemetzar, afilu koshehu ein nimdadima. Okay, the Rashbam immediately says, the Maya Sela Yechidi, it's not just talking about an individual rock, but what he's saying is, if I sold you my field, here's my field, and I have a rock right on the border outside my field, or the second case is, Imaya Samuch Lemeitzar, Afilu Kolshu, if it was right inside the border, Kolshu, okay? So even if I had this little rock that's outside the border or right inside the border, the point is it's alongside the border and it's not actually part of the field. So they say for sure this is not measured. Even if it's a teeny little rock, they normally would say it's just batel to the field. If it's on the border, whether inside the border or outside the border, it's for sure not batel to the field. You have to question why exactly he's talking about if it's outside the border. Who would have even thought it would be included? This, the first case you can see, by the way, from the pshat, that it's imayas sela yechidi. It doesn't say anything about near the border. And once you say it's near the border, well, the next case says, Imaya samuch lemeitzar. So it sounds like if the first case was the border, it would have said the border. However, the Rashbam says, because I think it's unclear what this means, sela yechidi, otherwise, so you're saying it must be referring to the border, and if it's different from the second case, so the second case must be it was inside the border, and the first case must be it was outside the border. Okay, but there is a little difficulty in here, in the pshat. So, but they're basically saying, which makes sense, if you're going to say it's batel to the field, that's only if it's inside the field. But if it's right near the edge, well then, just, you know, say that that's not part of it. By Rav Papa, mufsak afar bein tayim mahu. If there's dirt in between, what's the case? Okay, meaning, so now, this goes back to, this is a classic Gemara question. Okay, you have this rock near the border, so it's not going to be included. But what if you had some dirt near the border and then the rock? So since there's a little dirt in between, does that mean that this is no longer near the border? Now the assumption is, the way the Mefreshim explained is, they're talking about dirt that takes up a space of less than 3 tefachim, which if you remember from Sukkah, and we've learned this in other cases, the less than 3 tefachim, we assume it's, you know, it's as if it's not there. Like if something's, you know, let's say your wall of your sukkah is more than 3 tefachim off the ground, right? It's as if it's on the ground. So likewise here, since the afar is less than 3 tefachim, do we say it's as if the rock is samuch to the border or not? Again, teku, we don't know the answer. By Rav Ashi, afar milamata v'tsuma lamala, afar milamala v'tsuma milamata mahu. This is actually the one case where it seems to imply that maybe you could just move it. Because they're saying here, if there's dirt on the bottom and then the rock on top, since in theory you can move the rock and plant underneath, and maybe this is what this would answer your question actually about the rock earlier. The rock that we're talking about doesn't have ground underneath to be able to plant, right? The whole ground is hard. Hard ground, you can't plant there. But this is a case where there's some dirt underneath and then there's rock. So removing the rock won't help you because the land underneath is all hard that you still can't plant there. But here we're talking about if there's dirt underneath the rock, then in theory you can move the rock, and then maybe we'd say, and that's really the question here, is maybe the question you were asking. If you can move it and plant underneath, then maybe that would work. Afar milamala, v'tsuma milamata, what if there was a rock, and on top of the rock was dirt, which in theory means you could plant on the rock, on the dirt that's on top of the rock. So maybe that is included. Again, they say teku, so they don't really know the answer to the question. If you can make it usable, then do we allow for it or not? Okay, new Mishnah. Beit kor farni mocher lecha, just like the last case, right? I'm selling you this area, but instead of saying it regular, what did you say? Mida bechevel, right? Measured out with a rope. That's how they used to measure in those days. We learned this before, right? They would measure with ropes. They'd have ropes, particular measurements, and they'd take it out. Kind of like a tape measure, but right, it was a rope. Pichet kol shehu yinakeh. Hotir kol shehu yachzir. If he left any, right, if it was less than it should have been, any little bit, yinake, he has to deduct it from the price. Hotir kol shehu yachzir. If he gave extra, then the lokeach, the buyer, has to return the extra land that he gave him. V'imamar, we saw this before, hein chaser, hein yeter, right, whether it's a little more, whether it's a little less. Afilu pichet rova lesea, o hotir rova lesea, higio. If you remember, we learned this. How much do we assume is included in this margin of error? A rova lese'a, right? A quarter of a kav per se'a. Okay? So then we're going to say, which is 1/24. Okay? Then we're going to say that amount, right? Then it's still a good sale. Yoter mikan yaseh cheshbon. But once you get more than the rova, then you have to do a cheshbon, even if you said hein chaser hein yeter. So if you said mida b'chevel, you don't. The extra is not included. But if you said hein chaser hein yeter, then it would be. What it obviously doesn't say, and that's going to be the Gemara's question, is what if you didn't specify at all? Then do you have this rover or not? So mahu machzir lo. Now the question is, what happens? So let's say I buy this field, and it turns out it was a little bit more. So now, what do I give back? I give back this teeny little piece of land. What's the buyer going to do with that teeny little piece of land? It's ridiculous. So what does the Mishnah say? Ma'ot. He gives him the value of what that property was, because what's the seller going to want to do with that piece of property? V'im ratza machzir lo karka. But if the seller wanted that piece of land, then he could give back the piece of land. Okay? V'lam amru machzir lo ma'ot. So then if you can give him back land, then why does it say ma'ot? Li'apot kochosha mocher. Okay? In other words, the whole idea is to make it better for the mocher, because he doesn't want to get back this teeny little piece of land. So if he does, great. He basically gets to decide. Now we're going to explain the whole reason for this rovakav. She'im shi'er b'sadeh beit tisha kabin, u'bigina beit chatzi kav, u'kedivrei Rabbi Akiva beit rova, machzir lo et hakarka. Right? This is what we learned, that if you leave over in a field beit tisha kabin, or in a gina beit chatzi kav, or like Rabbi Akiva says it's a rovakav, then machzir lo et hakarka, you have to give back the land. V'lo et harova bovadu machzir, remember this, if you go over, you don't just give back the amount that you went over, but ela et kol hamotar, right? In other words, if we assume a quarter of a kav extra is included, then what do we say? You don't just give back the extra beyond the quarter of a kav, but you give back everything that went over. Once you go over, you bust, basically. You have to give everything back. Okay, we'll end with this last question. Ibailhu, Beit Kor Stama Mai. Okay, that was what I said. There was going to be a question in the Mishnah. What if you just say Beit Kor Ani Mocher Lecha? So then, what if it was extra, right? Or not enough? Do you have to make up the difference? Tashma, let's learn it from here, from the Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? Beit Kor Afar Ani Mocher Lecha Mida Bechevel. Only if you say Mida Bechevel, Pachot Kol Shehu Yinake, Yater Kol Shehu Yachzir. Hastama. Stama kehen chaser hein yeter dami, right? But if you said stama, it would be like hein chaser hein yeter dami, and you would basically say if you went over a little bit, then it's just included. But then they say, but that doesn't make any sense because ema seifa v'ima marlo hein chaser hein yeter afilu b'chei rova l'seya or tira rova l'seya higio. Hastama kemida b'chevel dami. This is your classic, another classic Gemara question. The case gave, the Mishnah gave one case of if you said Mida Bechevel, and one case if you said Hein Chaser Hein Yeter, but it didn't give the middle case. So if you want to learn it from the first case, you say only if you said Mida Bechevel would it not be included, but anything else would be. And if you say we're going to learn it from the second case, then you're going to say, well, here it says only if you say Hein Chaser Hein Yeter, give or take, right? But if you didn't say give or take, Stama, you would basically, you would have to, it would not be included. So now, what do we answer? So therefore, we say Ela meha leka lemashma mina. Okay, and therefore, since the resha could indicate one way and the seva could indicate another way, we can't learn from our Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to try to learn it from other places.